Welcome. Thank you for joining us today as we gather to worship our Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus today. We're grateful that you are able to join us from your home or wherever you're watching this video. We appreciate you being a part of this time of worship. This is our worship service for Sunday, May 24th, and of course it's Memorial Day weekend, and so wanted to take just a moment to say a word about that. Usually in our times together during worship on Memorial Day weekend, we'll watch a video and sort of remember those who have served, and particularly those who have given their lives for our nation. And so I hope that in some way your family this weekend can take a moment to remember those who've made the great sacrifice of securing our freedom through serving our nation and in foreign wars or however that's been. And I know there are many families in that situation of looking back on relatives who have given their lives for our nation, and so we're grateful for all the ways that people have served our great country and been a part of defending the freedoms that we enjoy, including the freedom to worship. And so even during this time when we're sort of kept apart, we can continue to join together in this way, and we look forward to a time when we can actually be together again. And we are excited that as a church family, we're starting to think about what that will look like when we can be back together again. Our leadership team is beginning to put together some plans in terms of how we can be back in the building safely together. And we don't know yet when, and we're still waiting on city and county and state officials to make some determinations in terms of what they feel is appropriate for churches. But we are hoping that in the coming weeks we can begin moving in that direction. And so one of the things you'll be seeing, if you're a member of the church, a regular attender here at Broadway, you'll be receiving both through email or mail and then also a phone call. We're trying to get some feedback in the coming days about your feeling about when and how you'll feel safe coming back into the church. And so be watching for that information coming to you, and then a phone call from one of our leadership team members so we can collect some of that information and make some decisions over the coming weeks. We still think it's going to be weeks before we're back together, but hopefully that time is drawing near. Also want to encourage you on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. if you're able to join us for our Zoom fellowship time. You should have the login information if you're a regular part of our church family, and you can join us online or with a phone call and be a part of that fellowship time on Sunday at 11 a.m. So again, welcome. We're grateful that you're a part of our worship time together today, and we're going to begin with a reading from God's Word. This is from Luke chapter 10, and this is a story. It kind of picks up halfway through a story where Jesus had sent out some of his followers to share the good news and to bring God's power into the lives of people in the surrounding villages. And then we pick up the story as the 72 return from their ministry. So this is Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. As we continue our worship, I want to encourage you to continue worshiping God through your giving. And I know giving looks a little different right now as we bring our offerings to the Lord. It's done with postage and envelopes, and you mail in your giving, or some of you give online. But it is still an act of worship. It's an act of faith that enables our ministry to continue to move forward, and we appreciate all your faithfulness to give. God's word says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And so according to your means, we appreciate all the ways that you are able to support Broadway, as well as other ministries and missionaries that you've committed to support. So thank you for your faithful and consistent giving. Let me invite you now to join in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we give you praise and thanks today for all the good things you bring into our lives. Lord, even during a difficult moment like we're living through, you continue to bless us and provide for us. We still see your goodness day after day. And Father, we pray that you would show us your grace, show us your power. We thank you for the ministry of our church that is continuing. We thank you for those who are faithful to give to support us. And I pray your blessing over the gifts that are given, as well as your blessing over those who give. Father, we also lift up our nation to you today as we remember our Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who have served our nation and those who have given their lives to defend our freedom. Lord, we thank you that we can live in a free country. And Father, we do pray that our nation would be restored in terms of healing, of removing this virus that is causing so much damage and disruption. Lord, we also pray that that our freedoms would be more fully restored, that we could get back to life as we know it and life as we enjoy it. We pray, Father, for those who have been impacted financially during this hard time, those who've lost jobs or those whose businesses may be facing extended closure or may not even be able to reopen again. Lord, provide for them. Give them your strength. Give them the assurance, Lord. Give all of us the assurance that we will get through this time. Father, we pray for the decisions that we're making about our own ministry and our church here as we look forward to that time when we will be able to begin worshiping together again. Lord, give us wisdom. We pray that we would come to a time when we can feel safe coming to church again and also feel welcome coming back into the building. And Lord, between now and then, I pray that you would guide us as a congregation, bind us together even while we're physically apart, and help us to trust in you through all of this. Father, we also pray for those in our church family who are in need of your healing and your strength and your encouragement. We continue to pray for Darlene, who is in need of your healing strength. We pray for Sylvia, who also is in need of encouragement and physical healing. Father, we pray for those who live in care facilities. We know that this virus has affected them in particular and dangerous ways. And we just pray that you would sustain them, protect them, and bring them through this time, Lord. We look forward to when we can see one another face to face again, when we can visit with family and friends again. Lord, we trust you that you will get us through this. Father, I thank you for your power and your grace in our lives. I thank you for your provision for our church. And I pray that you would help us now as we worship you, as we open up your word together. I pray that you would bind us together by your Holy Spirit so that your church can continue to be the body of Christ and continue to be a light to the world around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for hearing our prayers and working in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. In addition to this being Memorial Day weekend, there are also many around the country who are also celebrating the end of the school year. And that goes, I think, for teachers just as it does for students. And I'm sure there's a lot of celebrating going on around the end of the school year. But it's been, as we know, an unusual and difficult end of the year. And so I thought maybe we could use a few laughs as we think about the school year. And I know this is a little dangerous with nobody in the room to laugh along, but as you watch, you can at least humor me and laugh at home. As I share just a couple stories that, as I say, may or may not be true, but you might be able to relate to some of these. First, there was a little girl named Susie. Susie came home from school one day very upset, and she told her mom, I got in trouble at school today for something that I didn't do. And her mom says, oh, that's terrible, Susie. I'm going to have a talk with your teacher about this. Now, tell me, what is it that you didn't do? And Susie says, my math homework. You get it? So then the next week, Susie's parents were very disappointed in the grade that she brought home on her math test. And the dad whispered to the mom as Susie left the room, the only consolation I can find in this grade is we know that Susie didn't cheat on her test. So then there was also little Johnny. We want to be equal here. There was Susie, but then there was also Johnny. Johnny got in trouble a lot at school because he had a bad habit of falling asleep during history class. And so one day the teacher shouted, "Would somebody please wake Johnny up?" And the little boy sitting next to Johnny responded, "Well, you put him to sleep, you wake him up." And so then the next day, Johnny was nodding off again, and so the teacher walked right up to his desk and said very loudly, "Johnny, you know you can't sleep in my class." And Johnny opened his eyes and said, "Well, maybe if you were a little quieter, I could." So anyway, hopefully you enjoy some of those stories. We all hope also that school will be back to normal, or at least more like normal next fall. But for now, I want to say thank you to teachers and administrators. I want to say congratulations, especially to our seniors and our graduates as they head off finishing high school or maybe college or another school session. And to all of our teachers and students, I hope you enjoy the summer ahead. Now, all of that is to introduce this. Jesus was a rabbi, which means he was a special sort of spiritual teacher. And his followers, we know them as disciples. Disciples is a word that means students. And so there was this relationship between Jesus and his disciples as a teacher to his students. And we're going to read a story today about how Jesus' students, how the disciples were able to do the things that they had learned from Jesus, how they began to follow the example of what Jesus did in his ministry. And even after Jesus left the earth, the disciples continued to do the things that they had learned from Jesus. Now, we know there are many stories in the Gospels about Jesus healing people and performing miracles. We heard a story earlier from Luke's gospel about how some of the disciples were sent out by Jesus and then came back and reported about how they, through the Holy Spirit, had some of the same power that Jesus did. Authority over demons, the ability to miraculously heal people. And so today we're going to read a story from the book of Acts about just a few years later, maybe even just a year or two after Jesus left the earth, and the church had been growing, and through the Spirit's power, the disciples were able to also perform miracles like what they had seen Jesus do not that long before them. And so listen to what happened one day in Jerusalem. This is Acts chapter 3. Begin the story just with the first five verses. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now we'll get to the miracle in just a minute. But first we need to notice what Peter and John noticed as they were walking into the temple courts that day. They were going up to the temple to pray. It says about 3 p.m. This was a common daily time of prayer for the Jewish people. And so it was very likely a habit that Peter and John were in during their time there living in Jerusalem. And that's where the church was at this point. It was really confined still just to the area in and around Jerusalem. And we know there was already a few thousand believers meeting in homes or, as in this case, gathering in the temple courts to pray and to worship. And so John and Peter were going there, and it was a crowded area. Most of the worshipers there were Jewish people who hadn't yet accepted the good news about Jesus. Some of them were the early Christians. And so Peter and John went there in the midst of all of that noise and crowd and bustle, making their way into the temple courts. And as they did, Peter and John noticed a man who had been carried to this particular gate outside of the temple. The gate was known as Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate. And this man was placed there, it says, every day so that he could beg because he was disabled. He was not able to walk. He was not able to work. And so this was how he supported himself. And so as people walked into the temple, this man would ask them for money. I'm sure most people ignored him, or maybe they tossed a few pennies as they made their way past. But Peter and John took notice of him, and they stopped, and they looked at him, and they saw his need. They saw the disability that he had, not able to walk, carried on a mat. And you think about how many times Peter and John, when they were with Jesus, had witnessed Jesus doing something like what the Spirit was going to enable them to do. They had witnessed Jesus heal people and cast out demons and perform miraculous signs by his words and by his actions and through the power of the Holy Spirit. They had seen Jesus take notice of men, of people like this man who is there before them now. And Jesus would see their need. He would see how they were hurting, how they were lost, how they were hopeless. If we want to follow Jesus' example, if we want to be students following the teacher's lesson, and Jesus, of course, is the one who teaches us and gives us the example of how we are to live our lives, we need to start right here. Because like Jesus, we see people with needs all around us. And we know this is true. Our community, especially right now, is full of need. We know people are hurting in lots of ways. Are we willing to stop and notice them? Are we willing, in the midst of all of our own issues and our own needs and the busyness of our own lives, are we willing to see the needs around us, and will we be moved to help them? Some people, like the man who was begging at the temple gate that day, some people have physical needs. And it might be illness. It might be the virus that we hear so much about that's impacting lives of people in your own neighborhood or in your own family or people that you are aware of who are affected in that way. It could also, though, be a disability like this man who Peter and John interacted with, and that disability affected this man for years in his life. Some people deal with chronic pain. There's so many ailments and hurts that people face. Or think about people that you know who are facing financial needs, and that has become such a big part of what we're dealing with today, people losing jobs or losing income or facing many people needing to depend on food pantries and food banks just to feed their families. There are so many financial needs around us right now, and even setting aside the past couple of months, there are people who just live constantly with debt and with the concern that they're just a week or a month away from not being able to care for their own needs. Maybe you know people who are dealing with emotional struggles, anxiety or depression or loneliness. Those issues were the reality in lots of people's lives long before the coronavirus, but what we're dealing with now just makes all of those issues worse. You think about folks who are living alone and cut off and can't get out or have people come in and see them, and it just adds to that emotional struggle. Then, of course, there are spiritual needs. You might not see those needs as easily as you can see someone who's dealing with a physical ailment or financial poverty or other needs. But think about how many people you know who are not at peace with God. Think about people you know who are struggling with sin. And when you struggle with sin, you also struggle with shame. Think about people you know who don't really understand who God is or know the story of Jesus like we might. Everywhere we go, just like Peter and John walking up to the temple that day to pray, everywhere we go, we see people in need. But do we really see them? Do we notice? Do we stop and pay attention to the needs around us? Like Peter and John as they walked up to the temple gates and like Jesus did so many times, he took notice of the needs of people around him. Now, of course, we aren't just called to notice those needs and then walk on as though that was enough. No, we're also called to act. We're called to feel compassion for those in need and to allow that compassion to motivate us. And so listen to what happens next. In verse 6, it says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And then taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Now this might be a whole different sermon for another day, but as we read these verses, notice what Peter said first. He said, "I don't have money to give you. I don't have gold and silver for you." That's what the man had asked for, right? He was there to beg. Everybody went by, "Can I have some money?" That's why he tried to stop people as they made their way into the temple courts. But Peter was honest with him. He said very directly, "I can't give you gold and silver, even though that's what you're asking for today." We need to be honest with people we try to help as well, because we can't meet every need or every request that comes to us. The church has limited resources. So do each one of us. And we receive here at the church, we always receive people asking for, you know, it's a ministry in town or missionaries asking for help or thanking us for the gifts that we've given. And that has certainly increased in the past few weeks of ministries that are really struggling to get by during this difficult time. And we're helping those that we can. We, as a church, we've been able to help our covenant camps recently, and they've been very grateful with the support we've been able to provide. But there's so many needs around us, we can't just send out money and magically help all of them, because we all have limited resources. Sometimes people want what we can't give. And so we don't make empty promises. And we also don't feel guilty when we're not able to give what people are asking for. Instead, we do what Peter and John did. We offer what we do have access to: Jesus' compassion and power now flow through his church. And think about how extraordinary that truth is. And much of the book of Acts is written to make that exact point. What Jesus did during his time on the earth, now he's gone into heaven, now the Holy Spirit enables us to do those very same things. And so when Jesus showed compassion, now we get to show compassion. When Jesus exercised power, even performing miracles, now that power is available through the Holy Spirit in the lives of people who follow Jesus and through the ministry of the church. And it's an extraordinary truth that we get to live out even today in our church. Jesus didn't promise to make us rich. He didn't say the church will always have lots of cash. But He did promise the Holy Spirit. He did say that the church will always have access to the power of God. And that promise is still real and true for our church. And it begins with compassion. First, we need to notice the needs of people around us. Then we need to feel compassion. And compassion is not feeling sorry for other people. No, compassion is feeling that you understand their need and that you're motivated to help. Compassion, real compassion, always leads to action. And so we read this story about Peter healing this man, and it sounds so easy. He says a few words, he reaches out his hand, he lifts the man up, and instantly his feet and his ankles are made better, and he's able to walk and jump and praise God, and it's this wonderful, extraordinary story of a miraculous healing. What we don't see in these words, but we need to understand, is that it took an extraordinary amount of faith for Peter to do that. He had to know that the Spirit in that moment was flowing through him in a powerful way. He had to believe at that time, as he talked to that particular man, that Jesus was asking Peter, "This is the man I want you to heal. This is the moment for you to perform this miracle." Not in Peter's power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever hear the Spirit whispering in your heart? Telling you to pray for a friend in need? Or maybe the Spirit encourages you to call up someone who you know might be struggling, might need a word of encouragement. Or maybe the Spirit tells you, stop what you're doing and go help that person. And you just have this sense in your heart that this is what you need to do right now. And I think that's what it was for Peter and John. As they walked through that crowd and lots of people all around them, but the Spirit directed their attention to that man in that moment to deal with his need on that particular day. And in those moments, we need to have faith. We need to have faith that the Holy Spirit is going to use us to make a difference. We need to believe that Jesus' power is flowing through us. And maybe it won't be that the Spirit enables you to perform some miraculous healing, although that could be exactly what the Spirit enables you to do. It might just be speaking a kind word. It might just be offering a helping hand and in ways that anyone could do, but the Spirit sends you at that moment to that person for a particular reason. And we can offer that compassion. And we can unleash the power of Jesus to flow into that person's life simply by being present with them, simply by praying for them, or walking with them through a hard day. What the Spirit did through Peter that day was amazing. And I'm sure that Peter was blown away by what the Spirit did. Again, this was power through the name of Jesus. And the Spirit wasn't done working through Peter in that moment. Listen to what happens next. It wasn't just a miraculous healing. But then listen to what the Spirit does next through Peter. In verse 11 it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade, which was a gathering place right there outside the temple court. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness, we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. First thing to notice in Peter's words here, which by the way, were very bold, and we talked about this before as Peter preached on Pentecost, that it was only by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit that Peter, who had just days before Pentecost had denied knowing Jesus, now suddenly could stand up and preach a sermon. And same thing here, that it's the Spirit's power that gives Peter this boldness to say to the people of Jerusalem, you were the ones who asked for Jesus to be crucified. But notice the first thing that Peter says here after this miraculous healing of the man. First, notice what Peter didn't say. He didn't say, I healed this man. I have so much faith. I'm so righteous. God does whatever I ask. No, Peter immediately gave glory to Jesus. Peter immediately says, this was power through the name of Jesus that healed this man who now stands before you. And that's exactly what we need to do. Every time the Spirit works in our lives, every time the Spirit works in our church and in our ministries, we give glory to Jesus for every good deed. So when you finish a big job and you're feeling tired and satisfied with what you've accomplished, give glory to Jesus, because he's the one who gave you strength and wisdom and determination to finish that work. Every time a family member recovers from illness or overcomes a financial struggle or beats an addiction in their life or you see some great work of God that has transformed the life of someone you care about, give glory to God, because it's been through his power that change has taken place. Or thinking about the life of our church, when our ministries bear fruit, when our worship feels inspired by the Spirit, or when prayers are answered, or especially when someone comes to new life in Jesus through the witness of our ministry and through the work of our church, give Jesus glory, because it's not by our work. It's not by the words I preach. It's not because of who we are. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit and through the name of Jesus at work in us. But it's by the power of Jesus that these great things can happen. And so our attitude and our words should be the same as what Peter said. He said, we are witnesses of this. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that these good things have been accomplished. And we need to have that same attitude. Let's make this a little bit more specific to our lives right now with what we're going through. Our church is weathering a difficult storm, as are churches all over the world. We haven't worshiped together now for over 2 months. We haven't met for Bible studies or prayer groups. We haven't shared fellowship together in the same room since early March. And yet our church remains strong and faithful. And we are staying connected, maybe not in the ways we would like, but still connected. And we are still worshiping, and it doesn't look like it used to, but we're still worshiping. And we are still hearing and responding to God's Word. And we are still maintaining fellowship, maybe in different ways, but we're still loving one another and joining together as best we can to support each other. And we will be ready when that time comes to resume on-site, in-person, whatever we want to call it, worshiping together again. And in many ways, I believe that our church, when we come back together, our church will be closer in fellowship. We will be more grateful and joyful in our worship. We will be more faithful in our prayers. We will be more diligent in our study of God's Word. And all of this because of the powerful name of Jesus. And because of the Holy Spirit's work in each one of our lives, as well as in all of our lives, and because of how God is transforming us and binding us together as a church family. These things are being done not because of what I'm doing as a pastor or what our leadership is doing or what anyone individually is doing as we attempt to stay in touch with one another, but it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit among us. And the power in the name of Jesus. And so we give glory to Jesus for sustaining us and for pointing us ahead to that time of renewal and restoration and blessing that we trust is coming soon. The name of Jesus is still powerful among us. And the Church of Jesus Christ is still able to see and respond to needs in love. And the Holy Spirit is still moving among God's people. And so we rejoice that we are witnesses of these good things. Let me pray for you now. Father in heaven, we give you thanks today for the stories of how you have worked in your church and the followers of Jesus. In so many ways, all through the generations of believers, Lord, your Holy Spirit has been powerful. Your church has been provided for. You have used your people to make a difference in this world, to tell the story of Jesus and to draw people into relationship with yourself. And Lord, we believe you are still doing that today. And you will still continue to do all those things until you send Jesus back into this world. And so, Father, I pray for strength and your sustaining power with your church. Lord, give us the courage we need to see and respond to needs around us, whether it be a neighbor or a family member or even a stranger that we meet. And Lord, I pray that as we reach out in compassion to those in need, that your power would flow through us so that lives would be touched and changed, and so that we can, in turn or in response to what you do through us, that we can give glory to the name of Jesus, because we know that it's only through him that any lives are changed. So, Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I pray that you would be at work in each of our lives, and that you would continue to empower your church, enable your church to share the good news of Jesus and to share his love with those around us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your work in each of our lives, and I pray all these things in the powerful name of our Savior. Amen. I want to thank you again for joining us for this time of worship. I thank you for giving us this time to watch and listen, but also for binding your hearts together with other believers through prayer and through worship. Please continue to pray for your church family and for our community, and trust that we will get through this time together. Now may the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, now and always. Amen.